We get up in the morning and we say, okay, what do I have to do first? And we take care of that. Then we say, okay, what's next? Then we take care of that. Our Monday schedule usually is not really quite like our Tuesday schedule, and our Wednesday schedule is definitely not like our Monday schedule. And so we get into a routine so that life looks pretty much the same week in and week out. We do those things that we're called on to do that we must do, and we do them based on the amount of time and resources that we have. We schedule everything. We live a routine life. And then all of a sudden, the world crashes down. And the phone rings, and you hear, your routine has just been interrupted. Your life will never be the same again. And all of a sudden, nothing looks the same. Sounds don't sound the same. Emotions are different. Our thought processes are different. And in a very real and literal way, life has changed. There's a lot of pressure in an experience like that. And that pressure builds up inside of us. You can call it stress, anxiety, fear. It's got all kinds of names, and all of those names are appropriate. But that pressure inside of us builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up. And there's got to be some way to deal with that pressure. And beloved, we have a God who understands us because He put us together. And when He put us together, He knew that there would be times in which we needed a way to release all that pressure. And so He put in the design a pressure relief valve. Has yours been working this week? I remember my mama used to cook on those pressure cookers. Any of you used to use those? Any of you still use it? Don't admit it. They put that food in that thing, they twist that lid on like that, and they'd set it to cooking. I knew that sometime, hours from then, that we were going to have some good food. I don't remember what she used to cook in, but I remember it used to be good. She'd put that thing on, and then that little thing on top would go, you remember that? You remember why you have to have that little thing go? Because if it doesn't go, that pressure's going to build up, and you've got a mess to clean up, right? God put that little right here. It's a pressure relief valve. And I'm grateful for it, aren't you? I want to show you something that I thought about the last couple of days. I trust that you're praying for your pastor, especially this morning. We've had no time for study. So I don't know where we're headed, but we're going to have fun getting there. But this verse keeps coming back to me over and over the last few days. And it's not a verse that we look at very often. So even those of you who have half the Bible memorized are probably going to have to look it up. I want us to look in Psalm. Let's see if I can find it now. Psalms 56, verse 8. Psalms 56, pretty close to the middle of your Bible. Psalm 56, verse 8. And look at what it says. Thou hast taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Three powerful statements right there. The first one says, you have taken account of my wanderings. People have asked me lately how it feels, what this experience is like. And I keep using the word surreal. I don't know what word fits better. But I've told them it feels like we're walking through a science fiction movie. There's just this haze. It's like we're here, but not really here. You know, we're living a nightmare, and we're ready for it. We're ready to wake up and for it to be over. And the schedule, the routine, that's completely gone. So people who have been raised by and have lived with a schedule and a routine and a way of life, who now have that structure taken away, we don't know where we're going. It's hard to know what to do. We live in the questions because there aren't answers yet. And so we wander, kind of in a haze, and we just go from one necessary thing to the next necessary thing, trying to pull our lives back together, and we wander. But that verse promises us that we do not wander alone. Beloved, God is walking through this experience with us, and He's going to be with us every step along the way. Do you see what He says? Thou hast taken account of my wanderings. I don't live where I used to live. And pretty soon, I'm not going to live where I live now. And before too long, I'm not going to live then where I'm about to live, where I don't live yet, where I'm going to live later, huh? I can't keep track of my wanderings. But He never loses me. He never loses me. The post office can't find me. People have been sending me stuff. Don't send it to my address. It's lost. I go to the post office and they say, you don't have mail. I'm supposed to have mail. I don't. Don't send anything to my address. Post office can't find me. But God knows right where I am, wherever I am. He takes account of my wanderings. What comfort that is. That the God of all the universe would pay attention to where some little old country preacher puts his head at night. That's the kind of God we have. And I wanted you to hear that He says, you have taken account of my wanderings. And then He says something else. He says, you put my tears in your bottle. That's referring to an ancient custom where let's say your loved one went away to war. You worry about them every night, you pray for them. There was an ancient custom where they would literally take a little bottle and capture the tears as they cried for their loved one. And then when the loved one came back, they would give them that bottle as a gift. Say, this is a part of me. I wanted you to know how much I cared about you. In a similar way, a friend might be sick, and those who loved him would cry, capture the tears in the bottle, and give them to him. Based on that ancient custom, then, the psalmist says, you know, you have kept my tears in your bottle. The idea that God would care enough to be compassionate enough to reach down and to capture every tear. You see, God is not just some great big power out there somewhere. He is a loving God, a heavenly Father, compassionate and caring, and He knows and pays attention to every single tear that we cry. Not long ago, a few days back, I don't know, when When all this happened, it was important for me to stay focused. There was so much I needed to do and so many folks I needed to try to help and so much happening, and I had to stay focused. But then at some point in the last few days, there came a time when I could finally kind of let loose. I could let the pressure relief valve do its job, and it did, and it kept on. And I pictured God held up that bottle, and he put that bottle there, and he watched every tear, and he caught every one of them, caring about every little thing. And I kept crying, and he kept filling that bottle. I just kind of picture him. He says, Michael, go get another bottle. We're going to need another one. And I just kept on. He kept catching them. And then pretty soon he said, go get another bottle. We're still working here. I kept crying, and he kept caring. And then I don't know for sure, but in my mind, I think he finally said, hey, somebody, go get Jeremiah's jug. We're going to have to. It's been a tough week, but I want you to know that God knows every tear. That's how much he cares. He is with us. He is compassionate, and he's keeping track. Look at that. That's amazing. You've taken account of my wanderings. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in thy book? He keeps a record. He knows our pain. I think he feels our pain with us. You know, you only keep records of stuff that's important. Right? You only keep records of stuff that are important enough for you to pay attention to. And this says that he keeps a record of our tears. That's the kind of God we serve, one who pays attention to our needs and one who sees these things as important. As I was thinking about tears, I remembered that verse. That verse that was the first Bible trivia that any of us learned. What's the shortest book of the Bible? What is it? Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Now that's got to tell us something. It tells us, first of all, that there's nothing wrong with crying. If my Jesus does it, then I want to be like him. There's nothing wrong with crying. Jesus wept. It also tells us that Jesus was human. See, Jesus wept because he was hurting. Why was he hurting at that moment? He was hurting because a friend died. We look in our community and we see so many who've lost so much. And we look at our friends, and the families of our friends who have died, taking care of us. Don't hesitate to use the pressure relief valve. Jesus wept when he lost someone he cared about. Jesus was human. As a human, he made use of that pressure relief valve. On another occasion, it says that he looked out over the city and he wept. He wept because they had not accepted the truth of who he was. And it made him cry. Beloved, we've got to remember that he wept at Lazarus' funeral because he was human. And he wept over the city because he was divine. He wept because they were rejecting him and not paying attention to him. Don't forget him. Don't leave him out. You can't afford to. He cares about you so much, he's catching every tear in his bottle and he's recording every time that you cry. Don't you dare leave him out. He's weeping with us and we need him. I started thinking about those tears, and one of these days I realized that one day at the right time, God's going to reach down with that mighty hand of his with compassion and love, with gentleness of a father. Instead of catching that tear in a bottle, he's going to reach on my cheek, wipe that last one away, and there'll never be another tear. You see, he says that. He tells us the way that's going to work in Revelation. Revelation 24, it says, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. My goodness. What a day. What a day when that mighty hand that created the worlds and threw them into their places and set them on their journeys, when that mighty hand who picked up a little dust and breathed air into it and it became a living soul, that mighty hand that stepped down and put that hand down in between the sea and parted the waters so the people could walk across, that mighty hand that took his own son and allowed that son to be placed on that cross, that mighty hand that rolled that stone away and brought his son back to life, that same mighty hand reaches down onto my face and wipes away that final tear. That just amazes me. How can a God who is all of that be mindful of me? And yet he is. And he is for you too. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in him, if you've let him forgive you and give you a new life, then I'm going to tell you something. There will be a day when the tears will stop. You see, the verse in the Old Testament says, weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. One of these mornings, we're going to wake up, and we will wake up on the other side of that river. We're going to wake up on the other side. We're going to wake up in glory. We're going to wake up to see Jesus Christ himself face to face. No longer will we have to hope or have faith or dream about, because we're going to see him. And he's going to reach down and wipe that tear away. And I pray that I get to hear him say, son, you done good. One of these days, he's going to call us home. And we long to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he's going to say, I got a place prepared for you. I got a house that's set up. It's a house not made by hands, so can't nothing blow it down. And you're not going to have to move your stuff back and forth, to and fro, because once you're here for good. It's a house that lasts forever in the presence of God Almighty. And I hope I get to see you there someday, because I'm convinced that by his power and by his work alone, I'm going to be there. I hope you'll be there with us. I hope that you have trusted Jesus Christ. Maybe even this week has been a reminder to you that you are not as in control as you thought you were. We need our Savior. We need Jesus Christ. Have you ever really personally accepted him into your life? Have you come to the point where you said, Jesus, I can't, but you can. Jesus, I'm too small, but you're bigger than all this. Have you ever trusted him? personally? If you've never done that, I'm not talking about have you gone to church. I'm not talking about are you grandma's favorite. I'm asking you, have you personally made a commitment to Jesus Christ where you've said, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And Jesus, if you'll forgive me of my sin, I will serve you the rest of my life the best I can. I believe that Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and that he came back to life to give me the life I need to serve him. Have you ever made that kind of commitment? If you haven't, this is your time. We're going to sing together a hymn of invitation. And when we do, this is your time. This is your moment. You trust in Jesus Christ so that one of these days, you know the tears will stop. And you know you live in that house with him forever. If you've already trusted Jesus Christ and you know that's all settled, let me ask you something personally. You're a Christian. It's all settled. But let me ask you, have you been depending on him? Or have you been doing things your own way? You see, even as a Christian, it's real easy for us to get distracted by the things of the world and to make really stupid choices, to go our own way, even as Christians. And I want to ask you, Christian, brother, sister, are you trusting in God today? I tell you what, if this week didn't remind you of your need for him, probably nothing will. Don't get to that point where you're so cold and so hard-hearted and hard-headed that you can't be reminded how much you need to come home. It could be that somebody else is with us today and you've been looking for a church home and you sense that God is calling you to join our church. We want you to know you're welcome. Might even be that God is calling somebody to missions or ministry. We want to know about that. We want to be able to pray for you. If you need to accept Christ as a Christian, if you need to come home and recommit your life, if you need to join our church or enter into missions or ministry, come and let me or Phil pray with you. But the altar is open as well. If you just feel led to come and pray privately, you don't have to talk to any of us. Just come and pray. Kneel at the altar, stand at the altar. Feel free to come and pray. But I want to challenge you, don't leave this room until you've done whatever God is calling you to do right now.